real glad to be here again. Feel like that we have been highly favored, and Lord, that our lives have been spared, and we've been blessed to assemble ourselves together in the service of our Lord. I'd like to call your attention to a portion of Scripture and hope that we can speak in connection with it, that you'll pray that we'll have the grace that we need. It's feel like a very needy subject. If we could be blessed with light of spirit and ready mind of thought, and with the grace of God. I have tried to speak on this subject time or two, and each time that I have tried to speak on it, I have made mentions of the fact that we wasn't through with it. And we're still not through with it. I don't guess we'll ever get through. Don't really expect to. Not looking forward to getting through. I'm just looking forward to finishing my course. The Apostle Paul said when he were about to lay the armor by, he said, I finished. I bought a good fight. I have finished my course. I hope I can finish it with joy. Using for somewhat of point to rally our thoughts, to connect our thoughts around, the Apostle Paul said these words. He said, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness, worldly lust, that we should live sober, righteous, and godly in this present world. Now, in order for us to live this kind of life, we have got to be informed as what is the specifics, what is required. He tells us that, first of all, that God's grace brings salvation. If it brings salvation, I believe it's already, that it's present. But the important part to me and for large people at large at the present time is what it teaches us, teaching us, denying ungodliness, and worldly lust. That sort of hits us, that sort of steps on us. And I can feel it, and I'm willing to take a dose of it just as much so as I am to offer it to you. Teaching us denying ungodliness. And as we go along, I hope that you will take stock of your own self. Don't look over the congregation. Don't look at someone else. Don't point out who that I'm talking about. Look at your own self and take stock of your own self. There is godliness or there is ungodliness. There is righteousness or there's wickedness. There is right or there is wrong. There is the right way and there is the wrong way. I don't find no middle ground. I don't find no middle ground at all. We're in one of the other categories. We are numbered with the righteous, or we are numbered with the wicked. We're in the right way, or we're in the wrong way. Our Lord pointed out the two ways, and He said these words. He said, "Broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And many go in thereat, because," He said, "straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few be there that findeth it." Few be there that findeth it. Now what I'm saying and what I'm pointing out, that we're in the broad way, or we're in the narrow way. There's not a way that's almost narrow. There's not a way that's almost straight and right. Neither is there a way that's almost broad, almost wide, and almost wrong. Now we can, I'd be far from pointing out anyone, but we can take stock of our own self, whether or not, which way. We can also examine ourselves to see whether we are on the right side or we are on the wrong side. Oh, Brother Peter, he kind of outspoken, but he found himself one time after he had denied our Lord. After our Lord had been crucified, and after he had been resurrected, after Peter had denied our Lord and gone back to his old fishing vocation, and our Lord appeared to him after the resurrection. And when he appeared to him, he said to them, "Have you any meat?" I don't believe he asked for his benefit. I believe he knew they didn't have none. But he asked them, "If you have any meat." The Apostle Peter said, "We have toiled all night and haven't caught nothing. Now, you can imagine people that fish, of course. You can imagine all-night fishing and not catch nothing, not catch anything. I've been a few times when I didn't catch nothing, and it's pretty discouraging. They toiled all night. They said they hadn't caught nothing. Now, Lord said, cast your net on the right side." Right side. No doubt they had cast it over there many times before, all night fishing. But our Lord said, cast it on the right side. And when they cast the net on the right side, they caught an abundance. They caught an abundance. I believe the scripture says 152 great fish. They caught a lot, sir. What I'm saying is that there's a right side. there's a wrong side. And I often hear people say, well, I went to church today, and I didn't get nothing out of it. I didn't get nothing out of it. Every time that you go to church and you go home empty, you can assure yourself that you cast your net on the wrong side. It's possible that the preacher might not be able to preach. He might not be blessed to preach. But there's something in the service of God besides just hearing. When the Apostle Paul begins this chapter that we want to talk in connection with, after he had said, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live sober, righteous, and godly in this present world, he then comes back in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans and said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, not by force, but by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. Your body. You know, a lot of times when we come to church, we present our eye. We look to see what we can see. We look to see what we can see wrong. We look to see what we can see that we don't approve of. We're willing to present our eye. A lot of us comes and that we are willing to present our ear. We want to hear. And we rejoice in the good things that we hear. But he didn't say present your eye. He didn't say present your ear. He didn't say present your tongue. But he said your body. Your body. All of your body. And present it, he says, in a way that it's acceptable unto God. Must be a way that we could present it that would be unacceptable. Unacceptable. But our whole body. Now I'd like to start at the 11th verse of this chapter. He says, and tried to point out some of the specifics, as quick as I possibly can, that's required to live a godly and righteous life. We've been a little bit afraid about righteousness, you know. We sort of afraid to say much about righteousness because we realize that we are not righteous within our own self. The Apostle Paul even says that there is no good things in me. He said that is my flesh. And they're not. And they're not. And we find in God's Word where he has said that our righteousness is as filthy rags. According to the historians, those rags was not just rags that were laid aside. They were not rags that were just worn out. But those rags were rags that were used on people that had leprosies and such kind of diseases that were had been wiped with and covered with and had taken off of the sores and whatnot. Those were filthy rags. They were filthy rags. And so our righteousness is of that. We've been a little afraid of that because of that. Somebody would accuse us of talking about our righteousness. But I'm talking about righteousness that comes from that inward righteousness that our Lord imputes in us. That fruit, that inward righteousness produced, that spirit, that fruit of the Spirit. That's what I'm talking about. And so he says here, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continue instant in prayer. Now, we hear a lot about unemployment and how high the rate of unemployment is in our land today. But here is employment that we need a lot of employees. We need a lot of them. If you're interested in working righteousness and godliness, we'll pretty soon allow you to make applications for this vocation. And it will not take a month or 6 months to process your application. It'll only take a few minutes. Move in a second, a vote by the church, and your application will be processed, and immediately you'll be hired. You'll be hired. This is a big field, and we need lots of employees. Lots of employees. We can employ all of the unemployed immediately. Not slothful in business. Not to be slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. We need a lot of employees. Not to make our Lord any richer. Not to help him. Not to assist him or aid him, because he don't need our help. He don't need our help, and he don't need our service. He has even said that if he was hungry, he had not asked you. But he also has said that if you give a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, you'll not lose your reward. And also he has said that inasmuch as you have did this to the least of these little ones, always interested in the little ones, little ones. You remember that he'd taken a little child. He said, he made this statement. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Now he says that inasmuch as you do this to the least of the little ones, you do it unto me. You do it unto me. You want to enlist in God's service, serving the Lord. The way that we serve the Lord is serving one another. And if we are not willing to help one another, we're not willing to live a righteous and a godly life. Serving the Lord. He says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. I want to say this, that patience is something that we need. We need a lot of them. And especially I want to say to the young people in this congregation, gather up a good stock of them. Gather up a good stock. You're going to need them in tribulation. You that are young, you may feel like that I'm not going to have tribulations. I'm going to bypass that. The only way that you will is to die before you get old. I see so many old folks that are thrown away, put in nursing homes, convalescent homes, almost like being in jail. Thrown away, the children have thrown them away. Church, a lot of time have forsaken them. Nobody visits them much. I heard a man say not long ago, he said he were in a convalescent home, and he saw a young man and an elderly lady standing in the corridor. And as he, just before he got there, the young man walked off. He spoke to the elderly lady, and she said, "That's my son." And said, "He's been blessed with the material things of life. He's able to fix a place for me. He's able to keep me in his home." And said, "I don't see him once a month. Now it takes a lot of patience to be content and halfway satisfied with our tribulations. And you're going to need them, and you ought to store up a good amount of them. You might say, "Well, where do I get them at?" Well, there's one thing sure, you don't get them at the handy andy. You don't get them in the water. And they're not found on the world market, far as that concerned. But the Apostle Peter tells us how that we can come about them. He said, "Add to your faith virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience." Now, if you want a lot of them, you can add these virtues to your life. And when you grow old and tribulations prey upon your body, you'll have somewhere to go to that you can rely upon and even be content with whatever condition that you are in. Have you ever wondered why that people, you've seen old people that get old and have tribulations, pain racking their body. And as I said, forsaken. And then they can be so seemingly so happy and so content. Brother, they've had some patience to their life somewhere down the line. Patient in tribulation. Patient in tribulation. And continuing instant in prayer. Now, I believe praying people that really praise. And for it to really really reach the point, and really, I've heard this referred to that the telephone line is open, or the telephone line is busy. Heaven's telephone line is open, or heaven's telephone line are busy. to get through. I've prayed and prayed and cannot get through. It's not busy, brother. It's not out of order. It's not been, you possibly haven't been cut off. There's a possibility that you might be. But that's not, it's possibly not that. It's because of the fact that of the conduct of your life. The conduct of your life. We find in God's word where it says that the fervent and uttered and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, if a righteous man, his prayers availeth much to the unrighteous. To the unrighteous. Seems to me that's telling us something, that we've got to live godly, we've got to live righteous, and we've got to do what God's grace has taught us, to deny ungodliness. In order for us to live godly, we've got to deny ungodliness. And not only ungodliness, but he said worldly lust. Worldly lust. I heard this said, no doubt you have before, that there was a man that said one time, he said, I don't want all the land there is in the world. He said, I just want all that joins me. I don't want all the money there is in the world, but I want to get as much of it as I can. I'm after it. I'm lusting after it. What is lust? What is lust? I don't find no definition of lust, but my definition of lust is that we have a sinful nature, and that nature lusts after things that ought not to. And lust is not sin. But when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. And when that lust is conceived is when I give in and make up my mind. You know, I have heard this, our nature described as two bulldogs, both of them at one another's throat. The flesh and the spirit is at warfare, and if you don't have that within you, I doubt that seriously that you're a real child of God, because when we are born of God's Spirit, when we come into have that divine life, that there is immediately a warfare that is set up. One warring against the other. There's two bulldogs, one another's throat. Which one overcomes? The one I say second to. The one that I give in to. And when this sinful lust of ours, when it's conceived, is when we give in to it. When we get into it. Lust. Ungodliness. I like to also say this, and I'm going to get away just as quick as I can, yeah, that there is sinfulness. Sinfulness is ungodliness. And what is sin? Just something that we do? Is sin just something that we commit? No, brother. Oh, there's sin of omission. Almost every day that I talk to people, they tell me what they don't do. Boy, they tell me a string about as long as my arm that I don't do. I just don't do those things. And really kind of pat their self on the shoulder, telling me that they're doing real good because they don't do those things. But what do you do? What do you do? Ungodliness is not something that you don't do, not altogether. We should deny it and not be engaged in it. But righteousness is doing something or another. Doing something. What are you doing? What are you doing? If you're not doing so and so, what are you doing? The Apostle Paul said, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You hear that. You drive that down. You put that in your little notebook. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And that don't mean just joined in the church. Brother, that can reach out a long ways. That could involve a lot of things. We're denying godliness and worldly lust and live sober, righteous, and godly.
5:2.
Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Now, if you want to get in this field, if you want to labor in this field, there's plenty of room for everybody. There's sufficient tools to work with, and we ought to be up and about our Father's business. We ought to be doing something. We ought to be involved in it. A lot of people tell me, I know so-and-so is not right, but I don't want to get involved in it. Well, I believe that we ought to get involved in it. We ought to put everything that we got in it. We ought not to hold back nothing. We ought to get real enthused as the Apostle Paul said, put our whole body in it. Make a sacrifice that is acceptable unto the Lord. Must be some sacrifices that are not acceptable. Not acceptable. I know back under the old sacrificial law service, that when they brought their offerings up to offer them on the altar of sacrifice, if those offerings was lame, if they had spots and had blemishes on them, the Lord wouldn't accept them. He wouldn't accept them. There was less of value. We cannot make righteousness and godliness a secondary matter. We cannot do that on convenience. We cannot do that because we don't have nothing else to do. If we go to church because we don't have nowhere else to go, and go there because it is convenient, and that sacrifice is not acceptable. I remember a statement that was made to me way back by our early ministry, stayed with me. I don't think that he meant it like he said it, but this is the way he said it. Good brother. Good brother. Thought a lot of him. And he was real good to me. But it was on after Christmas. He said to me, I went home ready for lunch. He said, Brother Little, do you have any potatoes? I said, no. He said, well, before you leave, yeah, I want to give you some. He said, they're going to rot anyway. Going to rot anyway. Well, I don't believe he meant that. I don't believe that was the purpose of him giving them to me. But I just are saying that if we give something just because that we don't need it, if we give something because it's going to ruin, if we go because of convenience sake, if we go to see or be seen, that's not godliness. That's not godliness. He says, give to the necessity of the saints. Now, this is a large field, and it's a field that ought to be cultivated. It almost hurts me every day to see people that is so much in need, has so little, have to make out on such little. And then we have so much. We have so much. And give such little. And put such little emphasis and little time in this field. Give to the necessity of the saints. Well, there's so much could be said about that. Given to hospitality. He said, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if possible, as much as life within you, live peaceable with all men. Now, this is a large field, and if we want to be employed in righteousness and sober in righteousness and godliness, we can begin here. This is a good beginning point. First of all, he said, present your body. Get into it. Put everything you got. Make it first in your life. Paul says, first seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. You want to live a sober, righteous, and a godly life. Here's a good beginning point. This is not all of it. This is not all of it. But this is a good beginning point. May the Lord bless you.